say something, you know. And then other things, you know, the least little things we get aggravated about. How many just say, you know what, I still stress out? And how many knows there's a good part of stress that says that it keeps us doing what's right and all, but there's just so much in us that I think God wants to transform. Not really because, not because just to make us a good person, but really to so we can live the kind of life that He wants us to live. Good songs this morning to go along with this series. I appreciate the group and the songs that they had this morning because one of the things it takes is just yielding your life to God. And then the other is how we look at God and, oh, how He loves us. You know, how He loves us. And I appreciate, for instance, Marlene this morning. She was saying, you know, she's going to have a little procedure done this week. And they call it minor surgery if it's always done on someone else, right? If you're having it, it's minor surgery. If it's me, it's major surgery, you know. That's the way we are. But she said, I appreciate what she said. She said, I said, well, how you doing? She said, I'm doing great. She said, you know, I got a father that loves me and I'm trusting and a doctor that I'm trusting. And so I thought, you know, I told Marlene, I said, one of your grandkids looked up at you and you were somewhere, you know, in the part of the city they didn't know or something. They looked at you and said, and you know, I trust you, Grandma, you know. I said, wouldn't that just bless your heart to hear that from somebody like that? And then when you're little, remember how you trusted your dad? You always thought your dad, if you had a good dad, and hopefully you did, or whomever your guardian was, that, boy, if anybody tries to get to me, they got to go through them. You know, I trust them. And that's the image we should have of God, that we have a... And that's really important if we're going to transform and to say, I trust you with this part of my life. It don't look like you, but I trust you enough to, if I allow you to transform this, then it's going to benefit me. You know, I'm not going to have to let something go that I hate to let go, and justice won't be done if I let it go, but I'm going to let it go and let God take out the vengeance, if there's any vengeance, and take care of all this stuff. I'm just going to trust God and be transformed. Maybe some of you wrestle with thoughts, you know, of lustful thoughts, greedy thoughts, me first thoughts, you know, whatever it might be. But there's all of us have some part in us, I believe, that needs to be transformed. And then it's easy in a culture, in a society, isn't it, to conform to that. If it's accepted in the culture, for instance, you know, I love Ellen DeGeneres. She's a funny lady, such a gift for comedy and just knowing when to say something to make it funny. But I saw this morning as I was getting ready for church, the advertisement came on with Oprah, and Ellen DeGeneres and her wife will be on Oprah Sunday. And that's just an accepted thing in the United States. It's a, you know, and not with everybody, but it's more accepted every time. You know, when I was a kid, there's no way that would have been accepted. But what I'm saying, we evolve into things, and different cultures accepts different things, and then all of a sudden it just becomes okay. It becomes comfortable. Used to, if that would have been announced, that would have been an outrage. But we get immune to the things that are not like God. You know, whatever that is. And so that's what I want to go to, say, you know, let's just check. Let's just put a check on ourselves and say, what is it in my life that looks like God? And what is it that does not look like God that He wants to change? Mark was telling me about an email he got talking about a Jewish man. And, you know, a lot of Jewish people just really flourish financially, and said that he and his wife, older guy and his wife, were sitting at dinner, and said this really good-looking young blonde comes in and gives the guy a kiss right on the mouth and just walks off. And his wife said, well, who was that? He said, well, that was my mistress. And she said, well, I want a divorce. He said, well, fine then. Said, but no more yachts and no more trips abroad and no more fancy cars and limousines and all. And about that time, another really young, good-looking girl came across and kissed one of their older friends on the mouth at another table. And she said, well, who is that? He said, well, you know, that's Abraham's mistress. And she said, well, I think our mistress is prettier than their mistress, don't you? Conformity. I mean, those money makers. And we're a lot more like that when it comes to money and conforming than we would like to admit. For instance, Would you take a job? Jan and I was talking about, as we walked the track yesterday, would you take a job that paid $125,000 and you were doing filing and organizing, opposed to a $50,000 job that you really loved and enjoyed and knew that was a part of your gifting? Which one would you take? Let me just be honest with you. Show me the money. Just show me the money. Yeah. And isn't that sad when we would say, if the stakes were high, and then you could up the ante from there. It's just a scenario that we put out yesterday as we was walking and talking. But to say if the price was right, I would conform. You know, and Janice's thought was, well, I think I could be happy with that amount of money doing whatever. You know, as long as it's ethical and moral. And so it's amazing how we can, in our thought process, conform easily if it benefits us. So that's what we're going to talk about in this series. Everybody got your sword today? Ready to learn? And then just say a prayer for the ones that slept in today. How many wanted to sleep in and you came on today? Yeah. Yeah. So you'll be transformed. They'll be the same old person after today. Aren't you glad you came? Yeah. So if you talk to them, you know, and say, you overslept, boy, we were transformed today. Oh, it was awesome. Angels came down and hovered around the sick. You know, just really build it up, okay? And then tell them, and we missed you. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn where it says I can learn. And I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12. And I'm going to read a couple of different translations. Just because I like the Living, I'm going to read it out there as well. But I'll first read it from our regular New King James Version. Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I earnestly request of you guys, by the mercies of God. You know, there's room to grow in this area. There's room. God's merciful to us, and by His mercies, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's where we're gonna go. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And let me just read it from the Living Bible. I thought I just like the way it said it. It's more of our terminology. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. And let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept. When you think of what He has done for you, and we think about the cross and Jesus and the sacrifice made and the years it took to accomplish that and to do that for us, it says, when you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? And it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do. Then you will know what God wants you to do. You ever say, I just don't know what God wants me to do. You know, I don't know what God wants me to do. He says, you know what, if you'll let God transform your mind and become a holy sacrifice unto the Lord, which we think is stressful. Oh, I got to sacrifice all this stuff. But He's saying, you know what? You just cut away the stuff that don't look like God, and you sacrifice the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and all the things. He said, then you become in tune with God, so you know what God wants, and so you become fulfilled in knowing what it is that God wants you to do. And I hear that a lot. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, it's about getting in tune with God so we will know what He wants. That's why Jesus walked around so in tune with God. He just took time to spend with the Father and to be conformed. And so He knew when God wanted Him to do something. You know, when it was like going to Zacharias's and spending the day at his house. He just knew. Nobody else in the thing knew. I was reading this week, and it's kind of like this. The guys talked about Moses. Remember when Moses saw the burning bush, and he turned aside? He said, "I must turn aside." And he went to the burning bush, and he heard from God because he took the time. He saw it, and he took the time to turn aside. And what the author was saying was probably a lot of other people saw the burning bush, but Moses was the only one that turned aside to see to check the bush out and to take the time to do that. And said the rest of the people, when they approach it, they're not looking, so they're just picking berries off the tree. They're not conformed. See, they're not looking for that. And then he went on to say that there's a lot of burning bushes that we walk right by because we're not transformed and conformed to God, and so we don't hear Him, and we walk right by it. There'll be things in Guatemala that I'd tell you guys and girls to keep your spirit and your heart open to, that God will want to show you. He'll make some connections there. You know, He just will. Mark and I were talking the other day about the trip and where we've been there, and he is talking about two little girls that just really took up with him in one of the services and how they connected. You know, and then one of them brought over the Bible and was helping him translate so he could understand what was being read. You know, just there's a connection there. Transform. And this author went on to say that he told the story about a guy that went to a nursing home, and there was an older lady in there. Her name was Mabel, and she had terrible cancer inside of her face, and part of her face was eaten off, and she barely could see and was almost blind and almost deaf and sort of drooled. And he was handing out flowers as a pastor to these people at the nursing home, and he said when he walked by her and said, "Here's a rose for you," and helped her get the rose, and she said, "Thank you." It was Easter, whatever the occasion was, and she said, "I can't see it. Would it be okay if I give it away?" And he said, "Sure." And so he took her and he pushed her down the hall, and she took the rose, and he said, "Here's some people right here." And so she said, "I'd like to give you a rose from Jesus," and handed them the rose, and they reached out and took the rose. And he said, "I got to know her," and said, "You know, her countenance and the way she looked was nothing like what was inside of her." And he said, "She just began to teach me." And for the next 2 or 3 years before she passed away, he asked her, he said, "What do you think about it? And what's exciting to you?" And she said, "Oh, you know what's so exciting to me is my Savior is Jesus. He's with me every day, and He keeps me, and He talks to me, and we just have such a relationship, and it's so beautiful." And he said, "Man, here's a burning bush that I never would have thought was a burning bush if I hadn't stopped and took a moment just to say, what about you? What's your story?" And I thought, that's the thing that really matters, isn't it? How many knows when we're laying on our dying deathbed, we're not going to worry about what we drove or where we lived, or we're going to think about the relationship and who's coming, who's there with us to comfort us and be with us. And Randy called me yesterday, and I guess several other people here said Randy called yesterday, but he's not feeling well. And he said, "I probably won't be there tomorrow, but I'm going to try to rest tomorrow and get back so I can be back next Sunday. Just pray for me. I'm not feeling well." And he said, "You know," he calls me boss. I don't know why he calls me boss. He don't do a thing I tell him, but he calls me boss. That's just a word he uses for me. And so he says, "You know, boss," he said, "when I'm going around hugging people and doing," he said, "I'm not just trying to linger." He said, "but people are ministering to me." He said, "I'm getting strength from that." And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I sat back there and I saw Randy lingering around after everybody was, and you guys were singing, and I thought, you know, and I started to say something. God said, "Leave him alone. He's doing ministry." And I thought, wow. So then he told me that yesterday, and I hadn't said anything to him. But he said, that ministers to me. See, as he's being transformed by you guys, by just touching you in the meet and greet time. And so he's getting something there. And all I'm saying is that the transforming stuff should happen in us to say, let's make it about others. Let's say, there's things in our life that we need to change, that needs to become, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, how many knows there's three elements, and if you're going to be transformed, there's three elements. One is the event. The event. Whatever the event is. How many knows events happen? if you're alive, events are going to happen. We're going to have births. We're going to have deaths. We're going to have health. We're going to have sickness. We're going to have good days. We're going to have days with trials. How many knows that's life? That's the way it is. And when we come, when you become a Christian, if somebody told you, oh, just become a Christian and all your troubles will go away, they were a liar. So the event. What is the event? And everybody, you know, if we could just take the microphone and scatter it around right now, just put it around, and you say, I say, what's the event in your life right now that you're dealing with? And you would say, oh, I'm doing this, and I'm going through this, and here's the change that we're going through, and it's such it's an event. And so number one is the event, isn't it? It's whatever's happening to you today is your event. And number two is what we're going to deal with. Number two is what you think about the event. That's what we're going to deal with right there. That's what we're going to get to the core of. What you think about the event. It's amazing to me that I can talk to people that have been through similar circumstances, similar events in life, and have a totally different picture of it. Isn't that amazing to you that you can do that? You know, wherever you're at, you can find somebody going through what you're going through right now and have been going through or went through, and they're totally opposite, totally different. I've seen probably one of the hardest things I could imagine ever doing was be losing a child. And I've known a couple ladies that have lost children about the same age. And watched them deal with that totally different. One of them was years ago when we first moved out here, and Jan and I helped out at the camp. And this lady was helping out, cooking at the camp 1 year, and her little boy was bouncing on one of the bunk beds in the dorm and bounced off and hit his head and broke his neck and killed him. But the next year, guess where she was? She was at the camp cooking for the other kids again. And I saw her and I said, well, man, when was this? She said, last year. I thought, wow. Now, we have some friends that lost a little one, and I watched them. Boy, I mean, just about, just devastated them. And it took years to get over. And anything could set them off. I mean, we'd be out and out and about, and they'd see a little curly-headed boy and just lose it, you know. And I thought, there's two different things, and they handle it. And we don't know what's inside the mother's heart of either one of them, but I just watched their outward anyway. Such a difference. Such a difference. And if you've ever lost a child, maybe, I don't know how you handle it, but the key thing is what you think about the event. And that's what I want to deal with in this series is what you think about the event, what you think about whatever it is that you're going through, and how to make it where it's not about what you think so much, is but to ask the question, what does God think about this event? That's the key, and that's what I want you to get in your heart and your thinking right now. As you're going through this thing, in our men's ministry, we was watching a tape in here the other night, and he said in the book, it's called Fathered by God. It was on the screen. He said, you know, some of the things that we think were a mess in our life was God sending to us to see what we would do with that. Did you ever think about that? Has God sent you a mess? God sent you a mess so you could. So he wants to see what you would do with that mess. You ever wonder why somebody drug you into something? Maybe God said, what about them? You know, why did somebody pick you? You ever have somebody be rude to you in line, or you're going down the road and they're honking at you? Why are they picking on me? Well, maybe God just wants to see what you'll do. Some people today, you know, they honk and they honk back, and there's a gun, and they're dead in a few seconds. Or they're pulled out of the car and beat up. Maybe God just wanted to see what you would do, what I would do. And so he says, instead of instead of cursing the mess, we ought to just say, God, what is it that you want to do in this event? That's a different approach, isn't it? What is it you want to do? What, how is it you want me to act in this mess? I've never been in this mess before, but God, you must have a plan. I told our prayer warriors this morning, my mother, she just got out of the hospital, and one of them said, is she still on a feeding tube? And I said, she'll always be on the feeding tube. Mother's like 86, I believe, and she's been on a feeding tube for several years, and she had a bad infection, and her and Dad whittled on one of the tubes. Wasn't good. Don't whittle on your tube. If you get a feeding tube, don't whittle on it. And they'd kill me if they knew I talked to you about that. So don't tell them, okay? But anyway, she got infected and all, and so it's a mess, you know. And she went to the hospital, and Mother also has leukemia, and so they have to do treatments ever so often. They've been able to keep that under. But I thought, I've never ever heard her once complain about a feeding tube. And Mother's a great cook, and she still cooks. We went down Friday night and took her a little pump to help get the nutrition in her and stuff, so she'll have more. It takes a long time, and she gets restless, and she'll just not get enough nourishment. So we took her the little tube. And guess what she made? Jana, her favorite daughter-in-law. I bring Jana to go see my parents. I'm the driver. They love Jana, and she takes care of them. Guess what she did? Mother made her some chocolate cake, homemade chocolate cake, and beans. Jana likes to mix those two together and eat them. She's weird, but she likes to just mix those two together and eat them. So when we got there, she didn't ask what I like to eat. She got it for Jana, but she's got these beans and cake, man, and it looks good. And so we took a bunch home, and I got to eat cake too. Hallelujah. But she has to cook and make, and she cooks, you know, they cure their own meat, and it's wonderful if you've ever eat that stuff, but she can't take a bite of anything. And she cooks for them, and she does for them, and it's a joy to her. And I thought, boy, that's transformation, isn't it? Because if I couldn't eat it, I don't know if I could sit there and let you eat it in front of me. You're going to eat that in front of me, are you, huh? You know, I just thought, man. And so you never know. That's her event, and I thought she's doing that event very well. That's all I'm saying. And to say, what is your... So the second thing is what you think about the event. And the third thing is the reaction to the event. And the third thing is always going to be affected by the second thing. The event, you cannot help it. Life is going to happen. There's nothing you can do about the events. Well, some of them, you know, we can avoid some things, exercise and be good stewards over money and take care of our relationships. You know, if you're mad at me, if you just love me or help me to understand where you are, I'll try to work with you. I made one or two people mad in 20-something years here. Is that funny? Okay, I've made everybody mad two or three times. Is that closer? And here's what I figured out. God sent me to make you mad so to see where you were. Yes! Yes! I'm your assignment. Aren't you glad? I'm your appointed mess. How many's got some other person? They're just your appointed mess in your life. You know, we've all got them. God, why do I have to associate with them? Because that's your mess right there. See, I'm going to see what you'll do with that mess. And you thought you were just unlucky. No, you're blessed. Because God's wanting to teach you some things and do some things in you that only will come through mess. Jesus put up with it all the time, didn't he? He always had some religious guy badgering him about who gave you authority and what are you doing and why are you here and who are you and you're taking our disciples away from us. He always had somebody he had to confront in a mess. So it wasn't any different for him. And then he had followers that, you know, it's time to go here and they say, oh, let's go die with him, man. He's crazy. We're going to all die. I mean, he had those kind of people around him after he poured his life into him. So he had a mess around him too. And then when he needed them all, every one of them, he needed them in his final hour here. He got at least three he thought he could trust and said, let's go pray and intercede. I'm stressing here. The carnal side of me is under pressure because I know where I'm headed. And they go and they fall asleep. And three times he comes and wakes them up. And three times they fall back asleep. And that's the kind of mess he had to deal with in his final hours here. So he has mess. He had mess just like you and I have mess. But isn't it different? Don't you think it would be different if we begin to think about the mess as something that God may have sent, that He may be instituting so we can be that kind of a person and grow and be who we need to be? So that we can show... One of the greatest things I've ever seen as far as... we were talking about deathbed and last hours was Mr. Leon Splon when he told his wife Alice, he said, and I was there with his last little while of life, and he said... He says, baby, would it be okay if I just went on home to be a Jesus? I'm really tired of fighting. She said, you just do whatever you need to do. Man, it just broke me. I thought, I want to die like that. That I know it's time and can I just go on and would it be okay? And then to see her, you know, Jana would be like, I'll kill you if you die. You better stop it, you know. I'll revive you and beat you senseless, you know. Yeah. But that was the most beautiful exiting I'd have ever witnessed in my life. It's just, wow. And then within a few hours, he slipped out into eternity. See? And so what does Satan do about something like that? What kind of power can Satan have when we say, when whatever we're going through, we look at our mess and we say, you know what? I love you, Lord, and I love that opportunity to go through because I know when I get through the other side, I'm going to be better. I'm going to look more like Jesus when I get through because I trust you. And you said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I'll fear no evil for thou art with me. You're with me. You're with me. How many knows God is with you? I love what John said last week, didn't you? I've never heard that before. Said, you're unique and you're special. You know what God was saying? I'll never do that again. When He created you. Didn't you love that? Wasn't that cool? Kind of like the old phrase, you know, I wouldn't take a million for the one I got and give you a nickel for another one. That's kind of what... But that's what I thought, man, that is true. You know, I never thought it that way. But you're unique and made in His image. You made the stars and he spoke all that stuff into existence, didn't he? He spoke and there he divided the waters from the air and the atmospheres and he spoke and all this stuff that was without form and void, it shaped up. But when it come to making me and you, guess what he did? He got hands on and he scraped us up in the dirt and out of his own breath he breathed into us. All of a sudden the angels are taking notice now because he's not speaking anymore. Now, when it comes to me and you, he's fashioning us with his hands. And he's breathing life. His own breath is what started our first breath that we manufacture now through procreation out into others. But the first breath started with God that you and I breathe. That's what he thinks about you and me. That's why we need to get a great image of God. I could have. This is so funny. I just had to bring it to you. And it talks about when we're being transformed. I thought about this. It's about changing your heart. It's a book about changing your heart and changing your life. It says, what picture do you have of God? We talked about this some in our men's study because John Eldridge was talking about. You know, you if you had a and the first one is called a. You have a picture of God like your dad was. If you had a dad, what was your dad like? You know, that's how I see God like my dad. Well, if you had a mean dad, a dad that was just abusive, you might have a lot of hard time struggling with getting a good image of who God is. An abusive God. And some of our men have shared that's where they're coming from. They didn't have a good relationship, and so it would be hard. Can you see that? How it would be hard for them to have a good image of who God was. And so that was the first image. And then the second image was a stained glass God. He's the God that when you show up for church, well, this is where He's at. And then when you leave church, He's at church. You leave Him at church. And you'll see Him next Sunday or Wednesday or whenever you come back to church. That's the kind of God I had for a long time, we go to church and see God and talk to God. And that's what I had for a long time. And then I figured out after I got a relationship with Him, He's a relationship God. He lives in me and with me and through me if I'll let Him, if I'll be transformed and won't, live in my own power and my own satisfactions. And then number three was the absentee God. I know He's up there, but I don't know if He hears me, and if He does, I can't tell it, anything changes. I prayed, but, I can't really say that anything's different than what it was before I prayed. And so maybe you have a picture of an absentee God. Does it really matter? And you can ask some that's been through the fire, it matters. It matters. Really, it matters. Number four was the scorekeeper God. You don't do things because, God will get you. Or you have to do things so God won't be mad at you. Some of you had to get up and come to church maybe this morning. Because God keeps score, He won't be happy with me all week if I miss church. Scorekeeper God. He said, did you know that the Sabbath is made for man? It's made for us. We're not made for the Sabbath. He didn't say, He gave us this to give us a day of rest up here and in here. Or if I slip up and I lose my temper, He wants you to get that under control, but He's not a scorekeeper God. He loves you. He's a merciful. His mercy endures to all generations. Number five, I really like this one. He's the OnStar God. You see the commercials where they crash? Miss Jones, are you okay? No. I just crashed my car. What do you think? And that's the way it is. If you crash, you can call God. He's the OnStar God. If you run into something and you hit a wall, and we have people like that. When I see them walk through the doors, I thought, they've had a crash because they're back at church. And it's not bad. I'm not making fun. I'm just saying that's the kind of God they serve. It's like I had a crash, so now I need God. And that was the God for me for a long time. He was I called it my emergency room God. This was before OnStar, when I was growing up. And so I called Him my emergency God. If I had an emergency, I'd call on Him. And that was partly how I was raised, in the fact that, God runs the whole universe and He's got billions of people to deal with, so don't bother Him if you don't really need Him, Now, they didn't ever verbalize that, but just in what I saw in our, when we'd hit our knees fervently is when we had something that needed attention. Instead of just saying and teaching, I had to learn on my own that He's not an OnStar God, He's an all-present God that wants to visit with me every day. And so I get up and I talk to Him. And in fact, this is one of my fears as I'm growing older, is people are going to say, look, boy, Pastor's just talking to himself. Mark came out the other day, you talking to yourself? I just talk to God all the time. It's about stuff. Just like He's there with me. And so if they put me in the home and I'm talking with people, you'll know who it is. Help me, would you? Would you help me? But I just like to talk to Him. Do you talk to Him every day? I do. I talk to Him just like He's with me, and riding down the road we talk. And He's not an OnStar God to me. He's not an emergency God to me. He's a friend that's there with me all the time because I need Him all the time. And then I'll just lay stuff on Him and say, what do you think about this? And I just kind of wait and just see what He thinks about this. Or maybe it's somebody in front of me driving. Say, could you just zap them, get them out of my way? No, I don't do that. And then finally, the last one they're talking about was a grandpa God. He's a grandpa God. For some of you, it's just a grandpa God. Grandpa God is He's just going to bounce you on your knee and give you ice cream and send you home. He just wants to make you happy. Every Wednesday night, we take our kids out to get ice cream and send them all home wired up on sugar. It's just, and we go home and go to bed. So, And some of you look at God like He's a grandpa God. You know, He's just going to love you and balance you on His knee and just whatever. Grandpa, He's just old. You know, He's an old man in the rocking chair sitting up there and He just loves you and you just, whatever you want to do, you know. I mean, knows that's a side of God. He does love you and want to nurture you and all, but He's not just an old grandpa God. There's a holy and a righteous side to Him that says, you know, be holy. Look with me in Proverbs 4. I'm going to close with a verse. So I hope you took, if you didn't write them down, I hope you took a mental evaluation of that, of the three elements. We got, you know, what happens to you, what you think about the event that happens to you, and the feelings of the result, how you act and react, you know, to the event. Because we're going to look at that next week, and we're going to spend some time on what you think about the event. And what that deals with is your core beliefs and how to change those, identify them and change them. So any area that you look at that really stresses you, that you wrestle with all the time, you won't have to do that anymore. You won't have to. You're going to change the second part, so the third part will be different all the time. Stuff you stress about and worry about and fret over, that's what we're going to deal with next week. And that will help you and I to say, this is how I'm going to get transformed from where I am to where I want to be. And here's one of the keys in Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Every event that we have and we deal with goes straight to our heart. I think this is where we stress or don't stress. Now we get it up here, but if it's right here, then we don't stress up here. Are you with me? If we can get this right, as the information comes in, the event, whatever the event is, as it comes in here, it's going to go in here, and that's where the emotions and all that stuff is, and where it stays. I read a little statement the other day. It's talking about emotions. It says, emotions are only data telling us what we believe. That's all emotions are. Emotions is only data telling us what we believe. You know, did I tell you the story about the guy that was watering his yard and he saw a snake? It's a story I heard and I thought, this is exactly what this was talking about. It was a guy was out watering his lawn and he looks over and there's a little flower garden. He looks over in the peripheral vision and he sees a big black snake just coming along and he throws the hose down and he runs to the shed and he grabs the big hose and just comes out and he found this snake had slithered in some leaves. He just starts frantically beating that pile of leaves with a hoe. Because in his heart, that snake, there's only one kind. They're poison and more poison. You know, they're just kind of... And so that's his reaction to it. And then the same guy, different part of town's watering his lawn, and he works for the zoo, and he handles reptiles, and he sees the big black snake, and he plays with it with the water, and he might go over and pick it up, and help it out of the yard, and all. Same event, two different things, because when they saw the snake, it went here and it went boom right here, and that's what triggered the explosion in one. And what the other one said, I know all about it. You know, it was different in their heart. That's what we're going to change. And this is the Living Bible with that same verse. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Everything you do is affected by what you believe right in here. In fact, the Bible teaches this, out of the abundance of the heart, this thing goes open and shut. So when you said something and you stub your toe or you know something hurts you or something and the S word or something else comes out and you say, oh, where did that come from? It came right from your heart. And your wife didn't put it there. Your husband didn't put it there. That came from you. That's what you really are. That's what God's showing what you really are. And in the same way, when we go through events, God's showing you who you really are. How much you really trust Him. Where you put your hope. If you're the kind of person that says, they make me mad all the time. No, they don't. And they'll always make you mad until you own up to your own weaknesses. And once you own it, they'll never make you mad again. You'll look at it different. They hurt me all the time. No, they can't hurt you all the time. You allow them to hurt you all the time. So that's what we'll deal with next week. Father, thank You for loving us enough to give us words of transformation. When we look at presenting our bodies as a holy sacrifice, we think about it as things we have to give up, things we're going to have to do without. And You look at it as saying, I'm going to bring life, and I'm going to bring joy, and I'm going to bring blessing, and I'm going to bring peace. Because we're laying down all of our feelings, and we're going to say, what does God say about this? What does God say about this? Sort of like, Lord, when I lost one of my best friends a couple years ago, and I said, God, I'm really upset with You. And You said, precious is the death of the saints in the eyes of the Lord. And You begin to show me how precious it is and what a transformation He endured or enjoyed after enduring cancer and things here on this in this world. And it helped transform my thinking. And so things like that, events that are traumatic for us, events that we've looked at in one way and we've had mood swings, we've had stress, we've had sickness because of stress and all those things today, we look at that. And I pray that You'll begin to fashion and transform our mind to say these are all events. And if we'll look at the Word and get it in our heart, we'll think about them and look at them differently. And the results will be amazing to us. So we ask You to keep us on that track this week. As we go through life and events happen, we ask You to help us to examine them through the eyes of God's Word. That we can begin to be transformed. And as we look at some of the tricks of the enemy and sin that plague most of us this next week, I ask that You to open our eyes and open our understanding to transform us into Your image. That we'll never be the same as we walk through this together. That You'll burn things out of our life and our heart and our mind that's plaguing us, that doesn't look like Christ at all. Struggles we've had with different areas of our lives that we just need Your Word. We need to rightly divide it and get it in and get it taken care of. So begin to work and transform us. And this week, God, as we go through events that may be stressful or straining on us, help us to say, this is something that God has evidently allowed, and so what is it, God, that You're wanting to show me this week? And begin to transform and look at it different. Just give God the benefit of the doubt. Say, what is this? And what do You want me to do here? How do You want me to act and react in this situation? Give me a word, Father. Bring a word back to my remembrance. And help us to see the burning bushes that's all around us. Stop and focus on that. I believe it'll transform us as we just see what God's wanting to do in the lives of everyday people around us. How we can be Christ to them and how we can draw strength from the simple things of life. Transform us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Christian, praying heads are bowed. If you're here today and you need Christ in your life, you say, you know what? I just need to make Him Lord of my life. I need to really make Him Lord of my life. I want to know that, you know, I'm tired of being in charge and tired of trying to be my own boss. I'd like for Him to come in and just be my boss, my Lord. If you're here and you need that, would you raise your hand today and let me pray over you? Just lead you in a prayer. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Father, we just pray for these that have raised their hands today that You'll be Lord in their life. Areas that they say, you know what, I don't want to wrestle with this anymore. I don't want to try to figure it out and sort it out. I want to give it to God today. I ask You just help them lay it down on the altar today. Give it to You. And stop wrestling with it. Say, I give it to You, Lord. I surrender. I can't control it, so but I know you can. I'll deal with it. I won't just stick my head in the sand, but I'll deal with it. But I'm giving it to you, Lord. Right now, just give it to Him. I'm giving it to you, Lord. Just tell Him, I'm giving it to you, Lord. This is yours. Forgive me for hanging on to it and stressing, and I repent, turn from that, and I give it to you. Because I'm yours, and everything that I have is yours. And so I give you this stress, I give you this event, I give you this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're a first-time visitor, I'd like to meet you right over here. We have a little gift for you. We wanted to pray over the crew right quick before they went.